Lord, that we have this privilege, God, of meeting openly, Father, without fear. Where many of our brothers and sisters in the world, Lord, would be sentenced to death if they had to come and worship like this, God. We thank you, Lord, that we have this privilege, God. We thank you that we can draw near to you corporately, God, in this way, God. And we thank you, God, even that we can have a boldness and an absolute confidence that you are here with us, Lord, through the blood of your Son and through the resurrection power of Christ, Lord. We thank you that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory, Lord. And even as we draw now near to you, Father, Holy Spirit, we welcome you as our teacher. We welcome you in this place, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are the one that leads us into truth, God. And we come with that expectation, Lord, not in anything else, but our hope is in you, Father. Our trust is in you. We ask even now, Lord, that as we grow in our revelation of who you are, Father, that we will be transformed into the image of your Son, Lord. We will be changed even as we see you for who you are, Lord. Let your name be glorified in our midst, Lord. And I just pray for every heart here, Lord. Thank you for a peace now in our hearts. And we thank you, Lord, for a place, Lord, to grab a hold of everything that you have for us. But not only that, Lord, to realize that you give more than enough so that we can give to others, Lord, even as Rob was saying, Lord. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Right, so we had a... I want to ask a question. When last... I don't know, some of you have been on holiday, some have been away, and some guys have been traveling and stuff. And so I wonder, maybe it's relevant. When last did you see something that took your breath away? Did you see something that left you completely speechless? Now, I'm not talking in a bad way, because that happens to me quite often these days. My children just surprise me with stuff, and then, not like that. Like when David decides to deposit something in the toilet that it's not supposed to be in the toilet, Sometimes you're just speechless. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking in a good way. I'm talking in a way where you see something and you just dumbfounded and in awe. I want to show you something. This is one of those situations where you show a photo, but you can't really capture it in the photo. You know what I mean? So... I had the privilege of doing a hike a couple of years ago, actually quite a few. I've done more than one, but this one was particularly memorable. And now, again, like I said, this is, you can't really show what it looks like, but I'm just going to try and describe to you. But before I show you the picture, so what happened is we did a hike on. You go like. Onto quite a high mountain, part of a mountain range in South Africa, and it's a bit of a plateau on the top. And when we got to the top, you go around the back and chain ladders and things, and then you get to the top. And when we got to the top, it was completely overcast and lots of cloud because it's quite high. So we really couldn't see anything. So it was disappointing. So you could go, there's a bit of an escarpment, there's an edge, So we could go up to the edge, and it was just white. So, you couldn't see anything, it was not... it's still beautiful up there, but you can't see much. You can see about 20 meters, and it's just white. So we just had so we just relaxed, and then we pitched our tents and everything. And the next morning, when we woke up, it was clear. And that was that moment where you're like, you cannot believe what you're seeing now. Like I said, this is you can't really see it all, but this is on the edge of the amphitheater in the Drakensberg. Now this is obviously from the top, and that's the Tugela Falls, which is the second highest waterfall in the world at about 948 meters, which is just over half a mile. So now, can you imagine standing there? The previous evening, we were literally standing on the edge and like, this is a bit boring, it's all white and everything. And the next day, you couldn't go there because now suddenly that was literally half a mile down there. If you get me. So, and it just renders you speechless. The beauty and the awe of God's creation. Because you can see for miles, hundreds of miles. The scary bit is obviously this straight drop, which is, it goes about 800 meters straight, and then it slopes off a bit for the rest, up to about 950 meters. So we have moments like that in our lives, and I start there because, can you actually, you'll have to come and look at it. It's much better, yeah. That's ridiculous. I'm sorry. Okay, I thought that wasn't going to fly. But anyway, so you'll have to think of my, focus on my description. So, so it basically goes down straight, and then you can literally see for hundreds of miles. And it just leaves you absolutely dumbfounded. And obviously, having a relationship with God at that stage already, it just inspires worship. You cannot but worship because it's just so incredible. And I found that, you know, like thinking about, you know, even in the line with Rob was sharing, worship, and even what we're doing now, what we did this morning, and even if it's in the form of singing songs, is a response to who God is, in response to what we can see of who He is. And what I'm getting to is, if we look at Scripture, there are moments where we mere mortals like you and I come face to face with God, or with epiphany of Him, or with the angel of the Lord, as it says in Scripture, which is then basically the incarnate Christ. And most of those cases, the people literally just fall flat on their face in, you know, the mixture of awe and fear and reverence. And, you know, so the one prophet says, woe is me, I am undone. Like, I'm coming apart at the seams. I can't handle this type of situation. It's incredible, because it's sometimes, you know, it feels like we have to really focus to worship, or we have to really dig deep. But I'm just reminded that when we see Him, and when we regularly, daily see God for who He is and grow in our revelation of who He is, we cannot but worship Him. And we cannot but not, I'm not only talking about worship as on the way to work, putting on a worship CD or something, or listening on your iPod on the train. I'm talking about a lifestyle. And I've been meditating on this, on what does it look like? What does a life look like that is lived in response to Christ, in response to who He is? A life that is lived in response, in that worship response. Obviously can't do, kind of touch on everything in one morning, but I'm just going to put and look at a few scriptures around this, and I'm going to trust for us to come to a place where we live in response to who He is. And let's just have a look at Psalm 34, for starting from 4 to 9. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. Excuse me. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around all those who fear Him and delivers them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. O fear the Lord, you His saints. There is no want to those who fear Him. And the key verse there is verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him. I'm going to start with that, because that is where it starts. If we see and we taste and we experience His goodness, we cannot but worship Him. We cannot but express our gratitude. We cannot but respond in worship. So I'm just going to have a few ways to look at how we do that. How do we taste this goodness? How do we do that? How do we experience that from day to day? What is it? Where do we experience that? And I'm always reminded of a guy. I was fortunate to be at this evangelism school in Austria once or twice, and this gentleman who led the teaching, he was a gangster, from a big gangster, big organized crime background in Norway. But he had this thing where he was talking about being fishers of men, and how when you go and evangelize people, how you need to use the right bait. All right? So in the fishing kind of analogy there, because you need to not use what you like, you need to use the bait that the fish like. You know, so if you're big on McDonald's, it's not going to make big maybe the best to put McDonald's on the line. You know, it's might not go for that. But the point he was making is, what first happens is the fish kind of nibbles at the bait, and then you can see the little, what's it called, float or whatever. You know, you can see it move a little bit, but you have to be patient, because if it's nibbling, it's not yet grabbed the whole thing. You see. But he says that's the important part, is the nibbling part, is the tasting bit. And he was saying that our lives are the bait, where people come and taste, and they check, is this for real? They taste, and the part of what I'm getting at, well, part of this picture is that we taste and see that God is good, but others taste us and taste how we live and look at us and observe and get in, come into our lives and test and check and nibble and sometimes push buttons, because they're looking for something authentic. And it's so imperative for them when they do that they can taste and see that God is good. But that's a bit of a sidetrack. But a picture there of kind of that testing bit. Have you ever been to like a food tasting thing? You know, okay, like in some big shops or supermarkets, they have these little tasting stations. I really like those. So if there's ever one in the shop, I'm always, I don't care what it is, I'll just try it, you know. I don't know, once was invited, and I joined a whole exhibition of food and stuff. That does like that, but like times 2,000, you know. They had Earl's Court somewhere, and so we just did tasting all day. It's a little bit, I don't know, it's not obviously very healthy, but and it's obviously all mixed stuff, but it was amazing. But there, you know, we like that. We like tasting stuff. We like experiencing things. We like experience, and obviously the idea is that you taste and then you buy. Okay, that's what the guys there are keen for. But in a similar way, when we experience the goodness of God, the response is worship. The response is, we're going to get to the next scripture now, but let me read it. Actually, before we get there, there we go. Romans 2 is 4. Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? So there's a place where we experience the goodness of God, and it does something. It leads us to a place of repentance. It leads us to a place of wanting to change. Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. So let's quickly look at the way how we taste. And this might seem the wrong way around, okay? But but I find that gratitude is an absolute key, where it starts with us actually first recognizing that we have received something from God and being grateful for it. In the little story Rob shared, it's a simple thing that happened, but you know how it happens. When you've received something unexpectedly, first thing is to actually recognize, wow, this is a blessing. This is not expected. This shouldn't be. Or, you know, it's something that you didn't expect. And that is the key, firstly, to recognize the goodness of God in our lives. To deliberately to ask God. And if it's something that you're struggling with, if you... you know, like people say, glass half empty type of person, and you're prone to recognizing the challenges or the obstacles first. That's not necessarily bad, but it's something that you need to manage so that you can recognize the goodness of God, and you can actually make a deliberate habit of recognizing the goodness of God in your life and actually responding to it. And I found that when we do that, when we focus on and we deliberately living in terms of in a life of gratitude and praise, we are tasting the whole time, and it's good because He's good to us. We're tasting and we're experiencing the goodness of God, even in situations where others would say, why aren't you depressed? You know, all this stuff is happening to you, but when we're experiencing the goodness of God, even in a time of tribulation, even in a time of trial, we recognize the hand of God and we respond in gratitude, and we respond in thanksgiving, and that is so powerful, because as we taste and see, it helps us to grow into actually receiving more from God. Are you with me? It's as if you come to expect that goodness of God. And the more you do it, the more you actually walk in faith, because that's what faith is, expecting the goodness of God and hoping and it's, you know, the evidence of things hoped for, something that you haven't seen yet, but you're expecting it because you know God is good. Like when the children have a birthday, they're expecting something because there's been a previous experience of something good. So they're expecting something good. Are you with me? And I remember I shared the story about in India. Maybe you missed it. We were there, and we had a rest day as a team on an outreach there. And we went into the city to buy some things for our prayer partners, just a little something to bless them and say thanks. And and we made this mistake. I think this was the first year, so that we didn't know then. But there was this guy, I don't know where he got it from, but he had this little chess set, but small wooden carved thing, and he wanted to sell it to one of us, so he was showing it, and I made the mistake, one of us, I don't know if it was me, but one of us made the mistake of actually showing interest, and kind of saying, wow, that's amazing, well done, type of thing, just to kind of, you know, at least say it's cool, but I'm not going to buy it, type of thing. I like it, it's good, but I don't have money or whatever. I'm not, you know, bless you, type of thing. But that's a mistake, because then the moment we showed interest, that guy did not, I kid you not, he was with us the whole day. The whole day. He folded us. And if we went into a shop, he would wait outside the shop. And when we came out, then he would be there. And but okay, obviously that was not positive, but for me, when we think about the goodness of God, it's like that. You cannot escape it. The goodness of God will follow you. David writes, the goodness and mercy of God will follow me all the days of my life. And it's not, obviously it's not irritating, it's not a negative thing, it's a hugely positive thing, but it's something that we can expect every day. And but for us to actually walk in the fullness of God's blessing, we need to recognize it, and we need to celebrate it, and we need to give thanks for it, and we need to talk about it. I want to encourage you, especially if you're a glass half full person, or no, half empty. In other words, just make a point of it. Make a point. Think every day, what today can I give thanks for? And then not only to God, but talk to people about it. Because the confession is so important, the place where we say, you know what, God blessed me today at the optometrist, or whatever, the little things, recognize His goodness and talk about it. Say, Lord, we thank you. We celebrate that. And that positions us to expect that goodness more and more and more. And the next step of tasting is goodness, and this is sometimes where obviously it gets tricky, is we taste His goodness when we are out of our comfort zone. I know this sounds, again, counterintuitive, doesn't make sense, But like standing on the edge of that cliff there, to be honest, we couldn't stand. We had to go like on your knees and then on your stomach, and then you could. Where the previous day you were just like, yeah, this is cool. crazy. But when we're out of our comfort zone, we face with something that's a bit scary or that's unexpected or that we don't know how to face. The place where you recognize, I have to trust God, or I know I can trust God, that is a place where you position yourself to experience the goodness of God. And I found many times we face with a situation or a season or a trial or a challenge, and there's always a choice. There's always a choice of, I'm just going to sit it through and I'm hope for the best and work harder and do more or whatever and just get through it. And you might kind of have mixed feelings at the end of it. But I tell you this, if you humble yourself, if you and I humble ourselves saying, God, you know what? I cannot do this without you. I'm putting my faith in you. I'm putting my trust in you. I don't know. It's like when Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water towards Jesus. You know, that is a place for him to powerfully, powerfully experience the goodness of God in his life. Are you with me? I mean, I'm sure he was telling that story for the rest of his life. His grandchildren and then their grandchildren are still, I mean, obviously it's written down, so we're talking about it today. Because he experienced the goodness of God. Because he put himself in a position where he had to trust God. Amen? Where he had to put his faith out. Where he had to get out of everything that he knew and was comfortable with to a place of absolutely trusting in him. Now, the context is, guys, the guys didn't really swim those days. Okay? Have you ever been in a boat with somebody that can't swim? They're normally like terrified. And you can just see there's a different kind of faith in the boat. because if the boat goes, you know, they know there's problems. Okay, and they obviously do the life jacket thing. But these guys didn't, as a rule, didn't know how to swim. Jewish guys in that area at that time. You say, this is not just for him saying, you know, hopefully this works, otherwise I'll just swim back. No, it's not. That's why he had to cry out when he was starting to sink, you know, because he was going to die. But that place of positioning ourselves in a place where we know, I got to trust God now. I'm not saying deliberately put yourself in a terrible situation. I'm saying when we face trials, position yourself. Where's your heart at? Are you just going to push harder, work harder, save more, you know, do what you can? Obviously, do all of those things in obedience to God. But where is our faith? Where is our trust? And in addition to that, the promises of God in Scripture. That is where you position yourself, where you and I position ourselves to taste and see that He is good. When we say, you know what, God, this is what Scripture says. To be honest, sometimes we have to be honest. Say, you know what, I've always believed this is just for other people. Yeah, we always sometimes do that. It's easy to pray for somebody else's provision than for your own. Or maybe easy to pray for somebody else's healing. And if there's a scripture that promises something, and so you know what, you can encourage somebody else. This is what the Bible says. But when it comes close to home, it's funny. Sometimes we struggle to make it our own. Are you with me, or is it just me? Okay, but that is the key there, where we actually decide, God, I wanna stand on this thing. I wanna trust you with this promise. Everything says differently now. Everything in my circumstance, everything that I'm facing says something else. But this is the truth of your word. And I'm gonna go out on a limb here. It's a risk. Faith in God is risky, guys. It's the same when you go into a relationship. It's always a risk of you making yourself vulnerable to be rejected. Praise God, that's one thing you won't be with God, okay? But it's always a risk that you're going to be disappointed. There's always a risk that things will not turn out as you hoped they would. And the reality is, guys, often they don't. But they turn out better because God knows better. And this is one thing, you know, even when we're trusting and we're putting our faith out and we're hoping for the best and we're like really trusting God for something, and things, His provision comes in a different package and it comes in a different time. And we're like, wow, is this it? You know, is this what God is doing? But obviously the blessing of hindsight And I've had this so many times. You sit in a situation and you trust in God for something, and then it turns out very different. I'm going to give you an example. I don't know if Erna is listening. I think she knows the story. But there was a place, I was in an outreach. Anyway, long story. But the point is, I thought I met the right lady. Okay? I thought, this is it, you know. The funny thing was, I wasn't really in love with her. I was like ticking the boxes. You know, it was more a head thing. I think, wow, this is a godly a godly woman, you know. If all the things are there. I thought, yeah, are we good friends? You know, this makes a lot of sense. You know, this is a good plan. Any case, praise the Lord that He delivered me from that situation. And she very clearly helped me to realize this is not, well, at least not a shared thought, okay? But obviously, I praise the Lord in hindsight. I'm like, hallelujah. Because God, even in that moment, there was disappointment. Even in that moment, there was like, oh, but I thought this was of God. You know, I prayed, you know, I prayed about this thing, you know. Very spiritual and everything. But in hindsight, thinking, wow, the grace of God is truly with me. Because look at what He has given me. Look at how He's blessed me. Look at what I thought something was good, but what God had was so much better. Amen? So even in a place of disappointment, even in a place where things come in a different way, we know that He's good. And we know we can expect His goodness. And we know that we can stand on His promise. We can stand on His word. And I want to again challenge us. And maybe I should do this every month this year. I encourage you guys, and I want to still encourage you to do this if you haven't. If at the end of the beginning of the year you ask God for certain promises, you ask God for scripture, you ask God for something for the year, then I want to encourage you to go back to those things. Maybe it's something from last year, something that hasn't come to pass yet, but go back and say, God, I know You are faithful. I know I can trust You for these things. Even if it's somebody's salvation, even if it's something that you don't know how it's going to happen. I want to encourage you to stand on those words, stand on His promise, and position yourself to taste and to see He's good. Amen. Let's go on. So another key verse here I'm getting to is that the goodness of God leads you to repentance. So we've looked at, we taste and we see that He is good. And now we see in Romans, Paul writes, he says that the goodness of God is what leads us to repentance. Not necessarily the fear of hell, that helps sometimes, but the goodness of God. When I experience His goodness, something happens. Something changes in me. And you know, especially, guys, the amazing thing is that the more the world around us is falling into deep darkness, the more visible and the more extreme is the contrast between what is not the goodness of God, what is the goodness of God. Are you with me? And I want to encourage us that in your own life and in how you live as a demonstration of this to others, you can have a confidence that this is the contrast is only going to get bigger. The fact that people can recognize, wow, this is something different. And I remember when I got saved, when I made a commitment to Christ. You've heard the story. These guys came from America. Did I tell you the story? And they did all these power tricks. They were bending big pieces of big droppers, you know. Most of you know the story. They were doing all these power. They were blowing up these hot water bottles and until they burst, you know, breaking big pieces of ice. They were like doing all these bodybuilder tricks. And any case, but the thing that struck me was their testimony. The testimony of the goodness of God. The testimony of coming from an absolute life of, most of them, crime and gangsterism and all kinds of hectic things. And saying, this is what happened to me when I experienced the love of Jesus. This is what changed. And this is what happened to me. And I saw the goodness of God in their lives. Are you with me? I saw And I responded to that. And I recognized for the first time, wow, you know what, I've experienced the goodness of God as well. And I responded to that. And the interesting thing here is that we see that the goodness of God leads us. So it follows us, but there's also a place where it actually directs us and it leads us to a place of repentance. And I just want to break that down a little bit. before we do that, what does repentance mean? Okay, the word repentance is the word metanoia in the Greek, and it comes from the word. It's the same root word that we have for the word metamorphosis. So it speaks not only of a change of, you know, just a small change. It speaks of a transformation. It speaks of a complete change around. And if you think about it, you know, in some of the translations, it speaks of more of a change of mind, but also a change of action. So it's a complete mind shift, changing the way we think about something, but that also resulting in changing the way we live, the way we actually do things, okay? So you're walking in one direction, you're behaving in a certain way, you're thinking in a certain way, and then there's this metamorphosis, this transformation that happens. You recognize, wow, this is wrong. And you turn around 180 degrees and you think differently and you do differently and you're going in a different direction. Okay? So this is what the goodness of God does. We're going one direction and we encounter the goodness of God and we realize this is who He is. And I want to be the same. And I want to go in that same direction. And I want to be like Him and I want to experience more of this. Right? So the few keys here, just very briefly, is we follow His example. And I don't know about you, if you've really been blessed with something, or if really, like Rob was sharing, if you've had something unexpected, don't you agree that we find where you just want to do the same? It inspires us, when we see the goodness of God manifest, it inspires us to do the same. It inspires us to bless somebody. If we've received the blessing, if we've experienced the goodness of God, I've seen this even in the way we parent, in the way we treat our spouses, in the way we treat our friends. There's a place when you observe something. I had a friend of ours in Johannesburg, a colleague of mine there before we had children. And I used to watch them, how they parent their children. I thought, I want to be a parent like that one day. You know, I could see the blessing of God there. I could see the just godliness in how they were doing it. And I thought, wow, that's inspiring. I want to also do that. And are you with me? So the following His example, following the example of Christ, is where we see who He is a lot of the time in Scripture, a lot of the time in our own lives and lives around us, and we say, you know what, I want to be like that. I want to do the same thing. I want to respond. And that's why I started with the picture of worship and living, because it's a lifestyle. It's a recognizing God in something, and they're saying, yo, that is inspiring me to worship. And the worship means we act in obedience, as David was saying last week. It's a big part of worship is to obey, but also to do as He does. And we that's such a powerful way of worship, is to emulate something. Okay, then extend grace. And Rob helped me here by reading the same scripture, so I'll just read it again. Matthew 10:7-8. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. That is absolute key when it comes to allowing the goodness of God to lead us. As we experience the goodness, we receive from God freely on so many levels, and that inspires us to give in the same way. So it's not a place of, I'm thinking I need to do something now to earn some goodness. No, it's we have received so much that it inspires me. The love of Christ is Jesus. It compels me to be a blessing. And to extend grace to others. let's quickly look at Ephesians 3, just to, in addition to that. And this is the NIV, the rest is the New King James. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Now this is Paul introducing or talking to the church at Ephesus. And he's talking about the whole thing that the gospel being accessible to non-Jews, okay? But look how he says it. He says that I have received grace, and the different translation, it says it doesn't talk about the administration, but it talks about having received something for somebody else. Okay, so the point is here is not to only receive and hold on to, but the point is to receive and to give. And that is one of the most powerful ways that we actually emulate God and worship, is when we receive that grace freely and we also give it in the same way. When we receive His forgiveness freely and we give it in the same way. It's really something, obviously I've been guilty of the same, but if you think about unforgiveness and us not wanting to forgive people, it's really like weird. Because what have we been forgiven of? It's as if in that moment you completely forget that what you and I have been forgiven. What Christ has, you know, the measure of forgiveness He has extended to us. And some in that moment of insanity, we choose to withhold that we have so abundantly received. We choose to withhold it from somebody else. It boggles the mind, but I suppose we're all there at some stage. So we extend grace in the same way that we receive it, and we extend forgiveness in the same way that we receive it. And we experience, and in those things, we experience the goodness of God. And then what the powerful thing is that happens, that as we become conduits of His grace, and conduits and channels, then others do experience the same. Others experience the goodness of God. Others experience forgiveness, and experience and taste the grace of God. Very powerful example. And I was chatting to talking to Pastor Fred the other day, and he just mentioned something that just struck me again. He said that often we think about, you know, when we pray for somebody, or when we pray for somebody's salvation, or we pray for somebody's healing, we think of it as, you know, just as asking God to do something, which in some ways it is, but the point he was making is he was talking about the gift that we have already received, that we are now able to pass on to somebody else. And he was talking about how, you know, he was talking about something that's relevant to us as well, where somebody that, if you've received a miracle in a certain area, if you've received healing in a certain area, or you've received the answer to prayer in a certain area, a miracle, whatever, then you are now, as a recipient of that gift, able to impart that to somebody else. Obviously, it's an act of faith. It's not just like, you know. But it's recognizing that I have received the gift of salvation. I have the miracle of salvation. I have it. I'm now able to give that to somebody else. I'm able to pray that over somebody. I'm able to trust for somebody else's salvation because I've received it. Same with healing. Same with, you know, us, for instance, having not being able to conceive and now being blessed with children. You know what? When I pray for people that can't conceive, I have a confidence because I've received the miracle. The context was, we were talking about this ministry that works with healing and for inner healing and inner restoration, that type of thing. And just very briefly, so he says there are at least two ladies that were working with this ministry that had been in wheelchairs for many years. And one of them specifically, I don't know how many years she was, she had multiple sclerosis, MS, and she was in a wheelchair for many years. And after going through this process of inner healing, in other words, no prayer for healing, but prayer of forgiveness, prayers of dealing with hurts, dealing with rejections, dealing with all those things, she stood up out of the wheelchair. She was completely healed. And now it's 25 years on, and she's still 100%. The thing is, the most difficult thing about the whole process was taking the blue badge back, because the guys didn't have a process for that. It just threw them completely. Because she had this, she was in a wheelchair, 100% certified, no problems, had the blue badge, obviously needed it, and then took it back, and the guys just didn't know how to deal with it. But he says it's so powerful because when they are praying for you and when they are ministering in that area, you can see that this is not theory for them. This is not some far-off, airy-fairy concept. This is reality of the healing that comes or the restoration that comes when we receive God's forgiveness. We give His forgiveness. Amen? And so that means they have received that gift and now they are absolutely, boldly confident to say in the name of Jesus, you have the same. Amen? So we receive freely and we give freely. So I want to challenge you that if think about the blessings you have received. Think about the free gifts that you have received from God. Not only salvation the top of the list, so many other things. And say, wow, how can I impart that same gift to somebody else? In my small group, somebody in my, a colleague, because that's what it's there for. So that others can taste His goodness, so that others can be led to repentance. So that the kingdom of God will come through us, through our lives, that His glory will be manifested in us in a powerful way. Okay. 1 John 3, just to close, 1, 2, 3. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him. When He is revealed, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself as just as He is pure. And there are many scriptures that refer to this, where that moment when we see Christ, that moment when He returns, that's the moment when we completely transform to be like Him. But that process starts right now. It starts the moment we are born again. That is the moment when it will be completed. But I tell you guys, the more you and I see Christ for who He is, the more we are changed. And that change, that encounter is what inspires worship. That encounter, when we see Christ and we stand like I did on that cliff, on that mountain, and look, and it leaves you changed to encounter the glory of God. Sometimes, you know, we see it in different things. We see it in little things. It's not always a big ta-da moment, but it's so precious when we recognize the moments when we recognize that this is God. Sometimes it's in a little thing that children do. It's just something somebody says, or it's just something that you recognize in nature, and you're thinking, wow, this is God. A blessing that you receive. Let's stand this morning. We want to pray a bit. But the place where we are left in awe of Him, and we are inspired to worship, we're inspired to praise, we're inspired to give thanks, we're inspired to do something, to give to somebody else. We're inspired because it's God, and we cannot but want to do the same. We cannot but want to be like Him. And one of the big things that happens when we face Him is we learn something about ourselves. Okay, and I just feel this maybe for a few of us here this morning specifically, but it helps us to recognize who we are in Christ when we see Him more and more. When we spend time in His presence, we spend time in scripture. We grow in our revelation of our identity in Christ. The fact that, you know, you stand in a moment where you're faced with the glory of God, and then you realize that this is the God that gave His life for me. This is the one that left His glory to be a man, to walk on the earth, to give His life for me, so that I can have life. And let's just, if you just, while we just close our eyes, we, that is the moment when we come to that revelation, we recognize that you spoke the universe into being, that created everything we see around us. We are loved by God. It brings a joy unspeakable. It brings a fulfillment that is beyond what anything else can bring in our lives. The revelation that we are loved by Him, and that He first loved us before we could even respond. I just feel, specifically for one or two that you need to go this week and just meditate on this thing. I am loved by God. He has accepted me, and He has freely given me so much. Father, we thank You for Your word this morning. We thank You for the ultimate gift, Lord. We thank You for moments, beautiful moments, when we see You for who You are, Father. And God, in the name of Jesus morning, our desire, Lord, is that there will not be just moments. It will be just a continuous flow, Lord, of us being recognizing the goodness, Your goodness, that is all over our lives, Lord. Your goodness, that we can taste it and see it daily, moment by moment, recognize, taste, and see that You are good. Recognizing that goodness and that inspires worship, and it wants us to be the same. It leads us to repentance. It leads us to be changed and transformed. Lord, and I thank You. I just feel for specific people here this morning that sometimes we tend to, I sometimes do the same, we tend to see only the negative stuff. We only see the challenges. We only see the difficulties. We tend to talk about them so much, God. And we come in the name of Jesus and we repent, Lord, of just giving so much airtime to the negativity, Lord, and to negative stuff and to speaking death, Lord. And repent of that in Jesus' name. And if that's something you know you're trusting God for, then I just wanted you to take a moment now to say, God, I repent. I want to celebrate Your goodness. I don't want to celebrate anything else. I don't want to promote anything else. I don't want to live in a la-la land, but I don't want to continually have negativity on my lips and continue to speak death. If that's something you're trusting God for, just take a moment and bring it before Him. We thank You, Lord, for grace to speak life, God, for grace to celebrate Your goodness, for grace to live a life of gratitude and a life of thanksgiving, a life of praise, God, in Jesus' name. I thank You, Lord, for I just pray right now, I pray for eyes to open, to see the goodness of God in the land of the living, the Scripture says, to see the hand of God upon their lives right now. We thank You, Lord, for veils to lift in the name of Jesus Christ. We thank You, Lord, for scales to fall off eyes now in the name of Jesus, that some of us here will for the first time be able to recognize the goodness of God in such a powerful way, even this week, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You are good. Your goodness, Your mercy will follow us all the days of our lives, God. We thank You, God, in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Lord, for the anointing, a fresh infilling of Your Spirit, Lord, so that we can freely give what we have received, God. I thank You, Lord, for a boldness. Even as You remind some of us, You remind us of miracles that we have seen, miracles that we have received, gifts, good gifts that we have received from You, Lord, that we would extend them the same to others, God. Trust for their healing, trust for their provision, trust with them and for their salvation, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank You for a boldness in that, Lord. But thank You, Lord, for the empowering us to be able to extend that same gift of grace to somebody else, God. In the name of Jesus, let Your name be glorified. Let many, many, many taste and see that You are good, Father. Taste and see that You are good, and that goodness will lead into repentance, God. In the name of Jesus, let Your name be glorified. Amen. Amen. If you need to,